your physical recovery and well-being. The expectation versus reality memes are blowing up on social media. Some of them are brilliant and hilariously spot on. Jokes aside though, unrealistic expectations of life after birth can sometimes damage your confidence and body image. Unless you know a lot of women who have had babies, your expectation versus reality might be slightly skewed. This section is all about realigning this. The myth of bouncing back. There is no such thing as bouncing back. No matter how a mum that has bounced back appears to be on the outside, or how flat her tummy is, she is still very much in a recovery process, physically and mentally. Recovery is never just skin deep for postnatal women. It goes much, much deeper. It took 9 months to grow your baby, and it can take as long as, if not longer, for your body to recover. If you saw the size of your placenta, you'll be able to picture the size of the wound inside your uterus. I don't ever want you to feel afraid of what your body is going through, or down about how you look. So it's important that you understand the recovery process fully, so that you can feel confident and positive in your own skin. Everything is rushed and fast in our lives now. Fast food, emails, same-day deliveries, WhatsApp, and the list goes on. We expect our bodies to run at the same speed, but our bodies do not work like that. Our economy and culture have significantly evolved over the past few hundred years, but our bodies are hardly any different. Your body will recover in its own time, and if you try to rush your recovery and do too much too soon, you might not heal properly and may end up with long-term problems or pain. All great achievements require time. David J. Schwartz. You may expect your tummy to go down to its pre-baby size quite quickly, but it generally takes longer than you think. After birth, the uterus goes through a process called involution, where it starts to shrink back to its pre-pregnant state. It has stretched right up to the top of your abdomen, and now it needs to get right back down into your pelvis. Everyone is different, but on average, it takes around 6 weeks to involute. In addition, all the internal organs that have been displaced by your body need to go back into their natural position. Some women say that their tummy doesn't ever appear to be the same after birth. And some women look no different. Both are normal. The type of birth you had and your general health and fitness before pregnancy all have an impact on how quickly your body recovers. Follow-up appointments. You aren't on your own in these early few weeks, even if it seems like that sometimes. Midwives and midwifery support workers, MSWs, are there to help you if you have problems with breastfeeding and anything else you need. If you need an extra visit or some more support, just let your community team know and someone can come and see you or invite you to a clinic. Usually, your midwives will discharge you from their care around day 10 after birth, but are able to look after you, answer questions, or refer you back into the maternity unit until up to 28 days after birth. Your midwife will help you follow up with anything you need to and won't discharge you if there are any concerns. She will make sure you are fit to be discharged from our care. You'll be given a lot of local contact numbers for different things, but we are always happy to help, and you can always call us for advice on the triage line or ring the NHS helpline 111 if quicker. After us, your health visitor will take over and will be able to help with things like feeding, sleeping, and monitoring your baby's developmental checkups until your baby goes to school. A local health visitor should make contact with you before your midwife discharges you. Sometimes they will make contact with you in pregnancy. You may also need to see an obstetrician if you had any pregnancy or postnatal complications. You'll need to book a general checkup with your GP at 6 weeks to check how you are healing and discuss contraception, and this is an opportunity for you to ask questions. Here's a quick rundown from Dr. Shireen, London GP and Instagrammer. The six-week check is part of the NHS Newborn and Infant Physical Examination, NIPE, programme. The second NIPE check, your baby has the first one within 72 hours, is usually carried out by your GP and comprises of a physical examination of your baby and a review of their development. We often combine this with your postnatal check, although this may vary at different GP practices. This is an opportunity for us to offer some health promotion. This can include immunisations, breastfeeding, or advice on weaning, car safety, and dental health, although some of this may have already been covered by your health visitor. It also provides an opportunity for you to express any concerns you may have. During your postnatal check, we would have a general discussion about your mental health and well-being, and you will be screened for symptoms of postnatal depression. We also check your physical health. This involves a blood pressure check, and if there are any concerns, an examination of your vulva to ensure your stitches have healed or are not infected if you've had an episiotomy, or to take a swab if you've been having any unusual vaginal discharge. If you had a caesarean section and have any concerns, we would check the scar for healing and to ensure there is no infection and perform an abdominal examination. Following this, we would have a chat about contraception methods, which differ in the postnatal period. And if you're overweight or obese, we can offer weight loss advice and guidance in the postnatal period. Remember, this part of the postnatal check is about you. It's important to tell your doctor if you are struggling or feeling sad or anxious. These are all very common feelings in the postnatal period, and there is so much support we can offer. Another common symptom that many women struggle with is incontinence, struggling to hold their wee or sometimes poo. If that's the case for you, then again, please discuss this with your doctor, as there are so many possible treatment options. Looking after yourself. It is so important to look after yourself at this time. Your baby needs you to feel as well as possible. There is one thing that speeds up recovery and works for everyone: nurturing yourself, resting, and setting boundaries for visitors. You need to take care of yourself so that you can be the best version of yourself, get better, and be able to care for your baby in the days, weeks, and months ahead. Katie, first-time mum, said, "Give it time. I just took a week at a time, knowing each day would hurt a little less, and I would be able to do more and feel better. I didn't put any pressure on myself to go out. I cancelled visitors when I needed to and just sat with my baby. I felt selfish, but only because I'm a people pleaser. For the first time in my life, I also felt assertive and liberated by only doing what I wanted to do. And I think that really helped. I always thought, if anyone had a problem with it, they weren't a good enough friend anyway." Healing your postnatal body and the importance of your recovery can easily be pushed aside as caring for your newborn takes over. Sometimes women will ignore their own discomfort or symptoms and just press on. Please try not to do this. Report any pain or anything you are unsure of, and spend at least the first 2 weeks healing and recovering at home. No matter what type of birth you have had, you and your baby need to recover together. It may have been the perfect planned home water birth, or it may have been a birth with a lot of intervention. Either way, you and your baby have been through one of the biggest physical and emotional transformations in life. It is very normal to ask your midwives lots of questions, and it is totally acceptable to opt for rest over getting tasks done. Postnatal practices around the globe. Taking good care of yourself and focusing on your healing is not a luxury, It's an absolute necessity. And we haven't quite got to grips with that concept in the Western world. Here are some experiences about recovery and the postnatal period from around the world. We have a lot to learn from them. In Malaysia, the postnatal period is considered to be 6 weeks after birth. During this time, new mums are treated like queens. A new mother's sole focus is to rest and recover so she can build strength for motherhood. During the postnatal period, there is a heavy emphasis on nurturing, nourishing, and energizing the new mother. Traditionally, those caring for postnatal women want them to be able to embrace motherhood, breastfeeding, and the general demands that come with caring for a newborn. In China, postpartum care is one of the most important traditions for women. Women will tend to stay at home for the first month, known as the one-month sitting, and postnatal recovery is taken very seriously. The Chinese see it as an investment and once again ensure new mothers are well rested. The family take away demands and do as much as possible for the new mum. I was once told off by a Chinese grandmother for asking a woman to pull her own maternity knickers down so I could look at her C-section wound. She stopped me and said, "Do not ask her to do anything. I do everything." And that told me. Grandma insisted on doing everything and was very protective over her granddaughter's healing time. As a side note, while there are definitely benefits to plenty of rest, the risk of blood clots might increase when women are totally bedbound for 1 month, so a bit of moving about is probably a good thing. In the Netherlands, all new mums get Kramzorg, postnatal care at home. The Dutch believe postnatal recovery is a matter of national interest. This includes access to a maternity nurse who works in connection with mum, baby, and their midwife or doctor. Usually, the nurse provides 48 hours of care over 8 to 10 days and helps the new mum to care for herself, physically and emotionally, as well as for her new baby. They also clean bathrooms, bedrooms, and help with light household chores so mum can rest and recover. Mexico has one of the largest and most diverse indigenous populations in Latin America, and they speak around 62 languages in total. One thing the members of this diverse population all have in common is a great appreciation for postnatal recovery and focus on the first 40 days after birth. One thing that I find interesting is the use of plants from their region for herbal baths and teas. They also focus on warm, nutritious foods to help heal and seal the postnatal woman. The curada de cedera, translated as closing of the hips, is a gentle pressure bandage to help close the body of a mother. It is believed that in pregnancy and birth, the mother needs to open and create, but now she needs to close and become a new woman, a mother. Postpartum sealing is practiced soon after birth and continued through 40 days postpartum. This care is believed to restore mums quicker, enhance bonding and breast milk production, prevent womb ailments and arthritis later on in life. Full body massage is used to help heal and relax the mother. In India, the practice of Ayurveda, a traditional mind-body health system, teaches that the first 40 days of life will affect the next 40 years of life. This is because the influence of the mother will naturally impact on her newborn, so mum needs to regain her strength. Again, there is a heavy focus on resting and eating warming foods that will help her return to balance. This includes foods that are easy to digest, such as rice, and warming ingredients, such as ginger, turmeric, pepper, and herbs. Full body massage is also included in postnatal care too, as this helps circulation and promotes healing. Many ancient and global traditions have a few things in common. New mum rests as much as possible. No expectation for mum to do it all. Help is on hand. The first 40 days or 4 weeks is protected recovery time. Postnatal recovery equals investment in long-term health for mum and baby. Eating warming and nourishing foods. If the importance of postnatal recovery is known globally and has been highly regarded for hundreds, perhaps thousands of years, then it is important for us to remember this. Many other things move a lot faster, and we want things now, now, now. But rushing recovery doesn't do anything other than put further strain on the body. Claire, mum of four, said, "Our Western society has stolen this sacred time away from women because we think about being back out with a hot hashtag post-baby bod is some kind of hashtag goals. Because on top of everything else, women should be expected to push out a baby and look fine 5 minutes later. We are not fine. We should not be expected to be fine. We are still bleeding. Our organs are still trying to find their way back home. Our babies need us to be focused on them entirely so we can regulate our hormones. And we need a lot of support from friends and family to do that. Because if, like most of the women in the Western world these days, we miss this vital window of bonding and healing and nurturing, it can have long-lasting, like years, physical and mental health effects on the mother. I wish someone had told me how to care for my sister better. What food to bring her, what tea she needed, how to massage her. So if there's one thing I'd say to a mother of a newborn, stay in bed with your baby. You have nothing to prove. You are fucking badass for sitting in your pajamas, bonding with your newborn, and accepting help. And if anyone thinks you're being dramatic or indulgent, throw this book at their head. Postnatal wound care. Having some sort of wound in your vagina and perineum is very common. About 350,000 women per year in the UK, that's up to 50%, and millions more worldwide have perineal stitches. If you don't have any stitches or a tear, you may have a C-section wound. Most wounds heal beautifully, but to help you heal as quickly as possible, the key is to prevent infection. If you get an infection, this will delay healing a bit and can be painful. The three key things are: 1. Any wound dressing may be changed by your midwife after 48 hours after your C-section, especially if there is any leaking from the wound. Avoid touching your dressing or wound. 2. Recommendations vary around the UK, but any non-dissolvable stitches or beads will usually be taken out by your midwife after 5 to 7 days, who will also advise you on how to further care for your wound, depending on how it is healing. 3. Do not use any creams or soaps on your wound. Just use warm water and pat dry with a clean towel daily. 4. Keep the general groin area clean and wear loose cotton clothing. 5. Use maternity pads because they are usually larger and smoother and don't pull on or irritate any stitches further. Change them often. 6. Wash your hands regularly, especially after you have changed your baby's nappy and, of course, every time you go to the loo yourself. If you notice your wound is smelly, weeping, or green, pussy, red, hot, swollen, you have more pain in the wound or your tummy than you had before, get unpleasant vaginal discharge, or if you feel feverish and or have a high temperature, you need to call your midwife as soon as possible, as these are all signs of an infection. Perineal wound. Your midwife may ask to have a look at your perineum to check for infection and make sure it's healing well. I always advise women to have a look themselves, as it can be very reassuring. This is not for everyone, so if you don't want to look at it, then don't force yourself. A lot of the women who do have a look say that it doesn't look as bad as they imagined, or as bad as it feels. It is kind of like when you get a spot. It feels massive on your face, but when you see it in the mirror, it's nowhere near as bad. Having a look yourself is also good because you can monitor your own healing over the next few weeks, so you'll be able to see how well it is healing and detect any changes yourself. Help with healing. There is a lot you can do for yourself to help with the healing process. Lots of women find perineal bathing with warm water really comforting. Lavender oil has been clinically proven to help with perineal healing and to reduce redness. In one study, women got best results, reduced redness, from regular bathing with lavender oil for the first 10 days after birth. If you want to try lavender oil for perineal healing, add a drop in 500 ml of warm water and pour over your perineum after weeing. Ibuprofen and paracetamol taken regularly are a great combination to help you feel comfortable. Try not to take either of these on an empty stomach. Pop a clean, wet flannel on a clean plate in the fridge. You can use it as a nice cold compress for soothing any soreness and swelling. A few women have told me about a creative home invention. Fill a condom up with water, tie the top, and put it in the freezer to make a cooling pad for their perineum. Never put ice directly on the skin, as this can give you a cold burn. So you can make a hole in the sticky part of a pad and slide it in there. Sit on nice comfy cushions or on your sides to take the pressure off your perineum. Wear the most comfortable clothes ever. Loose cotton and as open as possible to allow airflow. Pour a jug of warm water as you wee, or get a wet flannel and wring it out over you as you wee. It can help take any sting out. Your postnatal pelvic floor. I've always loved France, the food, wine, and weather. But the French have got one more thing to boast about. Their fantastic postnatal care. Perineal education is standard care, and women are individually assessed on their vaginal strength by a physio, then given tailored exercises for their specific needs, because everyone is different in terms of what they need to do postpartum. We don't offer this in the UK yet, so it is even more important for you to know how to look after your pelvic floor. It is common to experience incontinence, especially if you are retraining your bladder in the first few days after birth. However, after about a week, it is not normal for incontinence to continue. Incontinence is sometimes normalised by adverts and can make bladder leak products seem to be the solution. Rather than use products that only solve the problem, not the cause, it is important to prevent this altogether. Incontinence should not be normalised or seen as part of life after birth. Incontinence pads are a temporary solution. With the right help and exercises, around 70% of the time, those affected can regain strength and correct incontinence. If your pelvic floor is not re-strengthened after pregnancy, then the pelvic organs can go from feeling heavy to bulging out from their natural position into the vagina. Prolapse. Sometimes a prolapse can be large enough to protrude outside the vagina. Prolapse is reported in almost 50% of women over the age of 50. Yoga pelvic floor exercise. My mum has some yoga exercises that you can easily do at home to strengthen your pelvic floor. This is useful whether or not you practice yoga. As the main support of the uterus, the pelvic floor muscles need regular toning and strengthening. This technique will contribute to maintaining a healthy vaginal tone throughout your long-term pelvic health. Give it a go. This exercise is known as Mula Bandha. Mula means root or foundation, and Bandha means lock. Mula relates to the many blood vessels and nerves passing through and around the pelvic outlet, where your baby passed through during birth. In order to use the energy locked in this region, you need to focus on relaxing and then gently lifting the vagina. At first, you will find that it's hard to single out just your vagina and may find yourself lifting your anus and including your urethra all at the same time. With practice, you'll be able to isolate just the vagina. 1. Sit cross-legged on a cushion against a wall to support your back. Close your eyes and relax your whole body. Be aware of your natural breath for a few moments. Now, slowly contract your vagina and hold the contraction. Some say to do the contractions on the in-breath, some on the out-breath. I would say try which one is best for you. Become totally aware of the physical sensation. Contract your vagina a little tighter, but keep the rest of the body relaxed. 3. Then relax the muscles slowly and evenly. Adjust the tension in the spine to help focus the point of contraction. And 4. Repeat 10 times with maximum contraction and total relaxation. The point of contraction is actually just behind the cervix. You can try visualizing this. When you are ready to start exercising, it's important to take it easy and accept that you may not be able to do what you could right away. But with a bit of practice and patience, you'll be able to get your fitness back. Robin, from Tennyson Fitness, has trained hundreds of women and has some top tips for those of you wanting to get back into the gym as soon as possible. She says, slow and steady most definitely wins the race. Your body has not exercised in 6 to 8 weeks, let alone the 9 months while you were pregnant and unable to train normally. Those fast-paced exercise classes, burning lots of calories, jumping and running around, can be very appealing. But trust me, in the long run, you will thank your body for starting at the basics. Your pelvic floor health should be your top priority. I always say to my clients to book in with a women's physiotherapist because they can assess internally to see if you have any imbalances along with your pelvis, hips, glutes, and abdominals. I would never let any of my postnatal ladies jump, run, or carry out advanced ab work, for example, sit-ups, double leg raises, etc., shortly after joining me, especially until they have had a thorough check. There has been so much strain on your hips and abdomen for 9 months, along with birth, that these forceful movements can actually be damaging. Even if you feel like your bladder control is fine, you still have internal weaknesses you may not know about. If you feel like you need some guidance, then definitely get in touch with a personal trainer who has experience in training pre- and postnatal women. Becoming a new mum is manic, so putting 5 to 6 gym sessions in your diary every week is not going to be sustainable. Gentle bodyweight home exercises are perfect to start with, and more than enough. Short 20 to 30 minute sessions of glute and core strengthening is a perfect way to start, and this way you can slot them into your baby's routine. Grab some small resistance bands and ankle weights and you're good to go. Think of your goal. Becoming a new mum is so overwhelming, and these days there seems to be a lot of pressure on new mums to get back into their favourite pair of jeans. At the end of the day, your goal should be to make sure your body is healthy and strong for your baby. You may end up skipping an exercise session because you haven't slept a wink the night before. So what? It's life. And there will be plenty more days in the future to train. Your mental, emotional, and physical health is more important than having a tiny toned frame. If you're not feeling up to formally exercising, then get out and go for a walk in the fresh air with your baby. Walking is so underrated. I think it's amazing to get out with nature and your newborn baby. It's also a great change of scenery. Sex and your relationship. We have already talked about the importance of checking in with your partner and looking after each other. So now it's time to talk about something I get asked a lot about. Sex. Most women are worried about having sex again. It's okay. You don't need to rush into anything, and there is no set amount of time that is normal. Having sex after birth is about you feeling ready. Tell your partner how you feel and what is going on, and don't put pressure on yourself or have a time frame in your mind. It is best to remove all expectations. Every woman is different. Some women are more focused on feeling physically ready, and others need to wait until they are more mentally ready. There may also be differences in women who have had a C-section in comparison to women that have had a vaginal birth. From a clinical point of view, the most important thing is to wait until you have stopped bleeding and make sure any wounds have healed. I usually tell women to have a look and feel themselves before they get intimate with anyone else. That way, you'll be so much more confident and relaxed in the bedroom. If you have a feel and something is sore, you can get it checked out first. You may be given some exercises or advised to massage any scar tissue to help that area become more comfortable. You may notice that you feel different, but your partner probably won't even notice. The first few times you have sex after birth, use a water-based lubricant because there is a sudden drop in estrogen after the delivery of the placenta. You can get quite dry, so it will make sex feel better for you. Doing your pelvic floor exercises is an essential part of improving your sex life after birth, so get going with them as soon as you feel able to. You also need to make sure that you use contraception. It's a myth that you can't get pregnant if you are breastfeeding. My little brother is proof of that. If you do want to have another baby, particularly if you've had a C-section, it is a good idea to wait until your baby is a year old so that your body has had time to heal and restore. Of course, women have babies sooner and surprises happen, but in order for your body to fully recover and heal, a year is a good amount of time to wait. Muscle separation. It's common for the two muscles that run down the middle of your stomach to separate in pregnancy. And the medical term for this is diastasis recti. And the amount of separation varies significantly. It happens because as your baby grows, your uterus pushes the muscles apart and they become longer and weaker. The majority of women don't notice any problems as this happens in pregnancy, but some might notice a small bulge down the front of their bump. NHS guidelines recommend a simple technique that you can do at home to check muscle recovery. Do this regularly to check that the gap is gradually decreasing. The separation between your stomach muscles will usually go back to normal by the time your baby is 8 weeks old. 1. Lie on your back with your legs bent and your feet flat on the floor. 2. Raise your shoulders off the floor slightly and look down at your tummy. Using the tips of your fingers, feel between the edges of the muscles, above and below your belly button. See how many fingers you can fit into the gap between your muscles. If the gap is still obvious at 8 weeks, the muscles may still be long and weak, and this can put you at risk of back problems. Your GP can refer you to a physiotherapist, who will give you some specific exercises to do, or if you prefer, you can self-refer and go private. Protecting your posture. Back pain is so common after you have had a baby, but it doesn't have to be. And it can be prevented by doing a few simple things. To help look after your back, you need to start by thinking about your posture. If you are breastfeeding, Be conscious of your posture, as you will probably be sitting in the same position for quite a while. You may feel like you don't want to disturb your baby, especially when they are still trying to get the hang of it. So if you settle into a good posture before you start a feed, you'll avoid this dilemma altogether. I have seen so many women sat feeding in awkward positions, and when I ask, "How's the feeding going?" they respond with, "Great, she's been latched on for 10 minutes. And I think, "You've held that position for 10 minutes. Your poor neck and back." Of course, she is focused on and excited by the fact the baby is feeding well, but this isn't sustainable for her. Accommodating your own needs and getting comfortable before a feed will help protect your back for the future. Here are a few tips. You need support to hold your baby while you feed, especially when they are very young. You can use a pillow or large cushion. There are loads on the market, and if you have a pregnancy pillow, this may double up as a feeding pillow, or just use one from home. Supporting baby on a pillow means you don't have to bend over and can bring baby to breast more easily. Observe how you are sitting when you are feeding. This is important for both breast and bottle feeding mums. Try to think from day one how you are using your body. How are you holding your baby? Are you mainly using your arms, shoulders? Where is the weight being mostly distributed? Are you twisting and turning? These considerations alone can really reduce long-term problems and pain. As a general rule, have a couple of places set up where you have thought about your posture so you can feed your baby where you are comfortable and supported upright. These places need to be slightly different so that you are using your body in different ways and don't get any repetitive strain injuries. After having a baby, there is general weakness in the abdominal muscles that support your lower back. One of the best things you can do is start moving gently. Your body is in a recovery process, so you need to take it easy and be gentle, but you need to move the spine, neck, and the shoulders. We are able to move because our joints produce fluid, which is similar to a lubricant, and this keeps things moving. The more we move during the day, the more joint lube is created at night. It also helps reduce inflammation. Like most things in the body, it adopts a kind of cycle dependent on the environment. The more movement, the more your body adjusts, the easier it becomes. How are you holding your baby? Take a moment to think about how you carry, burp, and cuddle your baby. Do you hold your baby with the same arm or on the same side all the time? For example, so many women only use one shoulder to burp their baby. Try to alternate so that one arm and shoulder aren't always under strain. This is especially important as your baby grows and gets heavier. Try to get into a habit early on of using both sides of your body evenly. Think balance. When it comes to picking your baby up, try to avoid bending over because the weight sits in your lower back. Instead, bend your knees to help you lift the weight of your baby. Your baby is only going to grow, get bigger, and heavier, so it's best to get into good habits when they're small and light. Always think about your body and how you can protect it. Your amazing mumstinct. One of the biggest tips I can give you in the time after birth is to trust your inner voice, your mumstinct. The best way to be in tune with your instincts is if you're resting and recovering, rather than always doing. I'm sure you've had those random thoughts when you're in the shower, changing the bedsheets, or making a cuppa. Thoughts that lead to a realization or an important decision. Many scientists, leaders, and CEOs say some of their very best ideas or discoveries come when doing mundane tasks. That's because they're not doing as such. They're in tune with themselves. Suddenly, the answer comes from uninterrupted intuition. All new mums have Mumstinct, and it works best when you have the opportunity to tune into it like a radio frequency, cutting out most other noise. My friend told me, "Marie, that's nonsense. I knew nothing. I had my first baby at 40. I worked hard all my life in senior roles, but I did not know what to do. I had no such thing as Mumstinct." When we dug a little deeper, she said she was replying to a work email within an hour of giving birth, and she was worrying about a project that needed following up on. Of course, she felt like she knew nothing. Her brain was full of doing, completing tasks, and was unable to tap into her intuition. The Mumstinct. Nadia, first-time mum, says, "I honestly thought this was a crock of shit when I heard people saying, 'It'll just kick in.' But honestly, it's so true. For me, it didn't happen straight away. You're just working out what this baby is all about. And to be fair, you're worried about everything. Even now, I still put my hand on his chest to make sure he's breathing. I'm the type of person that needs an answer for everything. Why is he fighting sleep? Should we be swaddling? Why won't he take a dummy?" As soon as I stopped worrying, my Mumstinct kicked in. You literally just know when something is and isn't right. The other thing you need to try and accept as soon as possible is that there are many ways of doing things, and almost everyone will have an opinion on the decisions all mums need to make. Whether it's about sleeping, eating, teething, swaddling, weaning, and using a dummy or not. From day one, remember that you and your situation is unique to you, and you are the boss. The change of attitude and tips you may have got from managing your pregnancy and birth in "You're a Parent, Not a Patient" need to stick with you for as long as possible. Use the brain tool in the postnatal period too. It is timeless. Try not to overly compare yourself to anyone else. Tune in to who you are becoming as a mum. Trust yourself and your own instinct. You know what is best for your baby and your family. There will be times when you may need to seek out expert advice or research things to help you make an informed decision. But ultimately, all of the decisions motherhood brings are for you to make. Some people love attachment parenting, and others like strict routine. Both are just styles of parenting. Rather than get hung up on other people's opinions, take ideas, styles, and mum's recommendations to create your own way of doing things. Just like when it comes to breast or bottle feeding, you don't need to pick a team. Treat it a bit like going into a sweet shop and getting a bag of pick and mix. If you and I went into a sweet shop and got a bag of pick and mix each, we'd come out with different things and we wouldn't think much of it. We like different sweets, so what? Even if we did choose the exact same sweets in the exact same amount, what would the chances of us blindly choosing the same sweets in the same order be? Minuscule. Try to see your parenting choices like this and trust your Mumstinct. Trust that you chose what you liked and what was right for you. As long as you are being safe and responsible, who cares what way round you do things? People may judge you at times, but that is not your problem, Mama. It's theirs. Offence is something that is taken, not given. As hard as it can be, try to tell yourself that if anyone makes any unfair or opinionated comment. You are doing your best, making informed decisions for you and your family. Nads, first-time mum, says, "I think it's really important to find a tribe, be it one person or a group, that just get you, don't judge you, and are honest and supportive. Even someone who will listen to you moaning on numerous WhatsApp chats about how your baby hasn't done a poo or how you had to bring your baby into your bed last night. Unfortunately, in motherhood, everyone has an opinion. Everyone. Some people make asshole comments, but that's because they're assholes. You just keep doing you." Baby bamboo. So many new mums say to me, I'm not getting anything done. It sometimes feels like you're treading water, just keeping your head above the surface in those first few months. But your perception is far from reality. Your body is doing so much internally to recover and readjust. Your constant attention and care for your baby is time-consuming, but is making such a difference. A monk I met in Tibet told me this story about baby bamboo. Bamboo took 4 years and only grew 3 centimetres. From the 5th year onwards, it grew wildly at a rate of 30 centimetres per day. In just 6 weeks, it grew to 15 metres. In fact, in the first 4 years, bamboo has roots extending hundreds of square metres in the soil. Like bamboo, your baby takes time to grow and develop properly. It needs to have strong roots. You might not be able to see the extent of the roots, but they are larger and deeper than you can imagine. Postnatal nutrition. Laura, pre and postnatal nutritionist, is back to explain a bit about postnatal nutrition. Good nutrition is essential post-birth to help with healing, immunity, balancing mood, and sleep. Postnatal is not the time to cut out any of the major food groups or severely restrict calories. It is a time of nourishing and respecting our bodies and what they have achieved, rather than punishing them for any new softer spots. The best way to feel healthy postnatally is to eat a well-balanced diet, low in sugar and processed foods, and to eat plenty of vegetables and fruits. I do get mums asking about weight loss, so let's talk about it here. Eating a balanced, nutritious diet is best for your body. This naturally leads to a healthy weight. Be aware that losing fat can release toxins into the body, which then have to be excreted. This is why, when the time is right, any weight loss must be done slowly and with adequate hydration. Enjoying warm, well-cooked foods, even in warm weather, postnatally can help with the easy digestion of nutrients present, especially iron and zinc, which both help to aid the body's healing process. I often recommend porridge, vegetable soups and broths, and slow-cooked recipes such as roasted vegetables or pulled pork. Warm foods are also comforting, and so help with our mood too. Hydrate. Plenty of water is required for successful healing, energy, and breast milk production. Around 2.5 litres a day is a good amount to aim for, roughly 8 to 10 large glasses. Herbal teas are also good, especially those that contain nettle, fennel, and milk thistle, as they can help to boost milk supply if you are breastfeeding. Good mood food. Our mood can take a serious dip after birth. Hormones, lack of sleep, and stress can all contribute to feeling blue. There are things that can be done to help boost mood. Eat protein with each meal, whether nuts, pulses, dairy, or fish and meat. This can help to keep your blood sugar levels stable. Include healthy fats such as avocado, nuts, coconut oil, butter, and fatty fish such as salmon, as they support brain health. Include eggs, as they are a good source of B vitamins, which can help regulate mood. Eat regularly throughout the day so you don't get over hungry. Blood sugar levels need to be kept constant as they are linked heavily to mood. Eat a little fermented food each day, such as kombucha, kefir, and sauerkraut, to support gut health. Many women feel stressed and/or anxious after birth. Stress can deplete nutrients faster than alcohol and smoking combined. The body relies heavily on magnesium and B vitamins in times of stress, so it is important that we replenish these with good food sources and include dark leafy greens, nuts, fish and meats, brown rice, peas and broccoli. Stress is also one of the main reasons for a drop in breast milk supply. You could also include more galactagogues, anecdotal milk-boosting food and drinks, into your day. These include oats, fennel, nutritional yeast, avoid yeast if you have thrush, and flax seeds. Consuming plenty of plant foods packed with antioxidants and polyphenols helps maintain cell health, which is essential for successful growth and repair. A brilliant way to incorporate these into your diet is through warming soups or vegetable and berry smoothies. You may need to eat up to an extra 500 calories each day if exclusively breastfeeding. Top postnatal power foods. Here are some top foods to include in your postnatal shopping list. Whole grains, such as buckwheat, oats, and brown rice. Vegetables, pulses, fish and seafood, avocado, nuts, offal, meat, berries, dark leafy greens and broccoli, and eggs. Do you need a multivitamin? Taking a good quality multivitamin is recommended, as it's difficult to assimilate all our nutrients from the foods we eat due to modern farming techniques that may strip out some of the nutrients we used to get. There are also specific breastfeeding supplements. Pairing them with a high-quality omega-3 algae oil is ideal. What to avoid? Avoiding processed foods, too much sugar, alcohol, caffeine, and definitely smoking is a great way to help the body's healing process. There is some research that says that having too much sugar may be linked with the onset of UTIs, urinary tract infections, and thrush, both common post-pregnancy. These are what we call anti-nutrients, substances that use up nutrients in the body just to process and eliminate them, whilst providing no nutrition in return. A healthy gut. Gut health is important for good immunity, successful healing, and balancing mood. Maintaining a healthy gut is a major help in terms of regulating inflammation in the body, which is especially important for the fourth trimester, when your body is working hard to heal and recover. Good sources of prebiotic foods include bananas, onions, garlic, and artichokes. Aim to also include probiotic foods such as live yogurt, sauerkraut, kimchi, and kombucha. If you or your baby are given antibiotics for any reason, it is helpful to repopulate the gut with good bacteria. At the time of writing, research suggests that our bodies are pretty good at doing this ourselves, and results from probiotic use varies between individuals. If a probiotic supplement is something you want to try, look for ones with at least 30 billion CFU, colony-forming units, containing lactobacillus and bifidus varieties. Postnatal depletion. Postnatal depletion comes about due to nutrient insufficiency and leads to symptoms such as forgetfulness, anxiety, debilitating fatigue, insomnia, sensitivity to light and sound, dry skin, softer nails, thinning hair, receding gums, and easier bruising. This is not commonly discussed, and Dr. Oscar Seralek, a specialist in postnatal nutrition, is working hard to change this. It's important to know that there are certain autoimmune conditions that can be brought on through pregnancy, such as postpartum thyroiditis. The main message here is that if you're not feeling right, don't just accept it as part of postnatal life. See your midwife or GP for more guidance. Key points. Be patient with your body. It doesn't spring back, but takes time to recover. Your pelvic floor has been through a lot, so you need to regain strength using exercises as well as rest. Incontinence is common, but not normal, and can be improved if not totally corrected. Don't ignore postnatal pain. See your GP or talk to your midwife. Have sex when you feel ready and comfortable. Think about your posture and try to balance weight distribution. Get into good habits while your baby is small and light. Your mumstinct is on point. Lean on your tribe and ignore opinions you don't need. You deserve to eat well and be well nourished, and this will help you to recover and restore during this busy time.